God's been good to me down through the years, y'all. Down through the years. Well, give me a praise. Is that your testimony? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. She caught out of the shake Shugiyanarayishe. Now, I'm not a singer, but I'm just not scared. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid to give God the praise. Amen. Amen. A lot of these brothers have much better voices than me, Brother Herb and Pastor Michael and all of them, and even Minister Eric. I've heard him sing. But I'll sing anyway. If y'all help me, because he's worthy of a song. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. And that's just been ringing in my spirit all week long. Down through the years. God's. He's been good to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Samuel, we'll look at 2 Samuel today. And Sister Sheila again touched on what we wanted to talk about. An awesome segue or transition into what we feel the Lord is leading us to share this morning. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Maybe a little different today, I don't know, but I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody senses his presence in this place. She got up by my shit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody glad to be in the service? Just glad to be in the service. One more time. Put me on minimum, as low as you can go, because we'll be all right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Scripture said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against all kinds of principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness. And high place. But the devil is a liar. Shoo! God help me. He's a liar this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Good gracious of me. Whew, I sense the presence of an awesome God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. See, we have to learn how to walk by faith. And and not by sight. Amen. Whew. Somebody said the anointing destroys the yoke, breaks the yoke. Isaiah 10 and 27 is that scripture. And it's true. Praise God. Somebody can get set free. Can be set free. Right here, right now, in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shoo, shoo, shoo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I'm going to move as soon as he releases me. I'm going to move. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shia-ba-ba-ba-sh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Second Samuel. Second Samuel. Huh? In the midst of COVID, he is able. In the midst of economic uncertainty, he is able. In the midst of your perplexity, he is still able. I came by to tell you this morning that he's able. And I serve notice on the enemy that he is defeated. Behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10, 19. God, I thank you for your word. Come on now. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to just wave your hands in his presence today. I'm going to preach in a minute, but oftentimes preachers make a mistake to believe that it's all about them. No, it's all about him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's why a word can come from the congregation. God can speak a word to some member's spirit, and that member can share. Amen. Hallelujah. He can speak through a song. Man, he can speak through a cymbal. Tambourine. Sometimes somebody can play the tambourine with an anointing. Come on, Pastor Michael. You know what I'm talking about. And the glory will just come in anyway. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if you have some discomfort with spiritual things, you're not going to like heaven. Too much. Amen. Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we just bless you. We just praise you. I just thank you for your people who stand on the wall, who pray day and night, who intercede for the church constantly, who do the work in the trenches. Thank you, Lord, so we can stand up here and share your word. We don't take that for granted. Lord, we thank you for Pastor Linda, Mother Scott. Thank you, Jesus, Pastor Eric, Pastor Sheila, and Pastor Michael, all who are here, and even Pastor Eric in his absence, Pastor Rick, in Jesus' name. And we're praying for him. Amen. See, y'all won't let me go. We aren't praying. We aren't praising, really. Y'all just worshiping, and that's all right. Because when he comes on the scene, after the praise is over, that's what you do. You worship him. Amen. You bow in his presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 She. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Kabashi. Thank you, Lord. Second Samuel, chapter 9, verse 1. And David said, some translations say, then David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and said, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold thy servant. David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then I'm going to jump to verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. I want to talk about how the fact is that Mephibosheth, the king, is calling your name. I want to talk about that. Mephibosheth, the king, that's my title today, is calling your name. One of those unique, enigmatic, esoteric type titles like my brother Minister Eric uses on occasion. Thought-provoking, blessed title. But Mephibosheth, the king, is calling your name. Mephibosheth is hurting. Mephibosheth is in pain. Mephibosheth is destitute. In a low place, in a dry place. But Mephibosheth, the king, is calling your name. And you may be like Mephibosheth. You may be in a dry place. You may be hurting. You may be in a state of what they call destitute, nothing going right for you. Hurting and in pain. gone through a lot, but Mephibosheth, the king is calling your name. Amen. Praise God. God wants to bring you from Lodabar to Jerusalem. Lodabar meant the place of no pasture, no grass, no communication, no word, a place of nothingness. But God wants to bring you from Lodabar to the king's table, from Lodabar to the city of God, to Jerusalem. Mephibosheth, care how long you've been hurting the king, God help me somebody, is calling your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last shall be first. And the first shall be last. There's a paradigm shift taking place in the spirit. And those who are hurting and those who are in pain, God is calling to the fore. You may have been wounded. It's God. But God has a seat with your name on it, Mephibosheth. King calling your name. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Sister Sheila alluded to it, saying, well, you know, you may have been here or may have been there, but God, the King is calling you. Amen. He calling your name. Now, I sat on this particular sermon for a while. Had it over a year ago. The Lord said to share it today, so I'm going to share it because I feel like somebody can be delivered if you get it in your spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. No longer bound, but I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No more chains are holding me. Care what you've been through. If you got to come limping, you can come to the table, Mephibosheth. Whoo! King's calling. Your name in 2 Samuel 9, it says, and David, now David had consolidated, if he will, his kingdom. Anointed king over all of Israel. But David wasn't satisfied with just being okay himself. David wanted to bless somebody else. And oftentimes I think about how when God has done something for us, we want to be a blessing to somebody else. David had come through some difficult times. Saul, the king, tried to kill him at least 12 times. Had to dwell in the caves, eat shewbread in the temple. He was on the run, suffered. No wonder he said, weeping me. Endure for a night. But then joy comes in the morning. David said, God has brought me through. And after he brought me through so much, can I find somebody else to be a blessing to? And if you've really been blessed by God and God has touched your life, you go looking. to bless somebody else. That's a sign that God really didn't bless you because you aren't contented with just receiving it all for yourself. You want to bless somebody else. Amen. Can I find? Woo, God help me somebody. Hey God. Can I find somebody else to touch? Some of us look at Elder Sandy with incredulity, or we look at her with amazement. We wonder why is she the way she is, but God blessed her, girl. He healed her when she was lying on her back. Brought her back, resuscitated, if you will, her. And now because God's been so good to her, she go looking for other folk. To bless. He healed me, so God, if you heal me, use me to touch somebody else. Been blessed by God. You have a desire to bless somebody else. David thought about all God had done for him and said, he brought me through. Let me bless somebody else. Scripture says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the entire earth looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. In other words, he's looking for somebody to bless. He's looking for somebody to touch. He's looking for somebody to deliver. If your heart's right, God say, I'll show up. Come on, somebody. If you don't have ulterior motive, God is saying, I'll show up and touch you. I'm looking for somebody to bless. I'm looking for somebody to deliver. Oh, constantly. And if they give me a praise, I'll give them a blessing. If they give me a hallelujah, I'll send down the glory. I'm just looking. Hey, hey, hey. Thank you, Lord. Brother said it last week, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll make it good. Numbers 23 and 19. Hallelujah. Looking for somebody to bless. Question is, will we bless him? Because if we bless him, I told you before, he'll bless us back. Thank you, Jesus. And so David said, God's been good to me. Now I need to bless God back. Touch somebody else. Amen. I'm looking to show compassion on somebody else. Thank you, Lord. Y'all bear with me. Think about my wife. A few years ago, she didn't know I was going to share this, but I'm going to share it anyway. When she worked, she, around Christmas time, would get a Christmas bonus. Never told me how much it was, but she would get a... I need to know because it was her money anyway. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. What's mine is hers, but what's hers is hers too, you know. Amen. But she would get a Christmas bonus and she would start to go and get all these bags and do all of this shopping. And around Christmas, she would just give out so many different things. And we didn't give each other presents because we had just made that covenant with one another, with each other, that we wouldn't do it. But I noticed that she would just give and give and give. And she would be so happy in doing it. And then when I found out how much she actually received, I understood it. I said, well, God sure enough blessed her because this was a bonus. But she didn't. She could have just put it in the bank and kept it to herself. But she said, God has been good to me. And I just want to share it with somebody else. Now, she put a little bit in the card for me, too. So thank God for that. Amen. But our natural inclination is to share and bless somebody else. If the Lord has blessed us. Amen. So David wanted to show kindness. He wanted to bless somebody else. But he tells us also why he wanted to do it. He says, for Jonathan's sake. He had forged a relationship with Jonathan, the son of Saul, the king, the first king of Israel. And David and Jonathan had become close, but Jonathan had made David promise to him that if anything happened to him, that David would take care of his family. And so when David comes into his kingdom, he doesn't forget about the promise he had made. He understood that God was a covenant-keeping God. And we have to understand that this morning, that God's a covenant-keeping God. If he made a promise, heaven and earth shall pass away. But his word will not pass away because he's a covenant-keeping God. That's why he says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I promised Abraham, I promised Isaac, and I promised Jacob, and everything I promised them, I made to come to pass. And if you are in the spiritual lineage of Jesus Christ, everything I promised, my God, help me somebody. I surely will cause it. Even if I'm on my bed of sickness and there's a promise over my life, I might be down to my last breath, but I can't die till the promise is fulfilled because he's a covenant keeper. Sister Sheila alluded to it. That keeps me going, no matter what I seek, because God promised me something, and the promises of God are yea and amen. He's not going to come short of his promise. Thank you, Lord. He's a covenant-keeping God. Some of y'all going to get mad with me about right now, but I'm going to say it anyway. Don't get mad with those of a Jewish persuasion. Oh, God, help me somebody. See, God promised way back then, and there's still an anointing falling on those folk. More doctors, more lawyers, more inventors. Oh, we don't like that because he's a covenant. God, help me, Holy Ghost. What do you think Mama Scott and her gaggle is in here today? Because he's a covenant-keeping God. He may have gotten a daughter first or whatever, but Mother Scott's been praying. She's been praying, and he's a covenant. Keeping God. Son had to come. Daughter had to come. This daughter and that. So granddaddy baby's coming. This one's coming. He's a covenant keeping God. Yeah. God's Miracle Church. He promised.
Yes, he did.
Some 30 years ago, 28 or whatever, before you started to build here. But he's a covenant. In the hotel, he didn't forget you. In falling in other buildings, he didn't forget you. In suites, he didn't forget you. He's a covenant keeping God. Just hold on, my God. Hold fast to your profession of faith, because he's faithful who has promised. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I can't die yet because he's a covenant keeping God. This ain't my last stop because he's a covenant keeping God. I still have something to do because he's a covenant keeping God. Thank you, Lord. He keeps his covenant. And David understood that. He said, I made a vow. I made a covenant to Jonathan. So I'm going to keep my word. Amen. And this is something else before I move to get into the heart of the message. And I'm going to do that pretty quickly. Hopefully pray for me. David understood something. We've got to get this. This bothers me a little bit, I'll be honest with you. I take umbrage or irked, if you will, by it. Fancy words saying it upsets me a little bit. Because we need to understand that David was a leader. And David understood that godly leadership represents God. In other words, you just can't do what you want to do when you say, you're a leader for God. Because you represent the will of God. And he knew, because God was a covenant-keeping God, for him to accurately represent God, he had to keep the covenant. Amen. So we as leaders need to understand at all times that we're here to represent the will of God. Amen. Praise God. Some say the real reason Moses didn't go into the promised land, because Moses was a leader, no question, a godly leader. Yes, because he smote the rock twice. But why was that so abysmal, so egregious in the sight of God? It was because he misrepresented the will of God. God wasn't angry at that moment. He had been angry, but he wasn't angry at that moment. So when Moses smote the rock twice, he misrepresented the will of God. And he ended up not going into the promised land. If we're a leader, we've got to accurately and adequately represent the will of God. Or not be lying. Oh, y'all don't want me to preach, but I'm going to preach. See, I have to speak this thing prophetically. I got to speak truth to power. And I'm talking about in general. One has to speak truth to power. Some folks, you know, some preachers have you so afraid to talk. Because I'm the anointed. Act like it then. I'm sorry, I ain't scared because you say you're anointed. If you're anointed, matter of fact, you ain't got to tell everybody. It ought to show. God help me. And you don't get more anointed by putting more titles on your name. If you were a mean pastor, you'll be a mean bishop. That doesn't intensify the anointing. Only God can do that. But we've got to accurately represent the will of God. Don't misrepresent it. My father was telling me, and thank God He's doing better. Some have asked, how is my father? Well, I talked to him yesterday. He had gone and gotten his screen, and he had a little spot of cancer, but he says the doctor told him he's doing really well. And he won't have to come back for 6 months. Then if that one's good, he won't have to come back again for a year. So I thank God that he's doing well. Spoke to my brother yesterday. He's doing well. So I thank God for the church and the prayers. But we don't want to misrepresent God. My father told me, he said, well, I have a relative, and he was just somehow promoted to bishop. See, we don't supposed to go here. That's why they don't have me in many churches. Because I try to disabuse them of the foolishness that's going on in the house of God. There's a whole lot of folk that's bishops. The only reason they're bishops is because they have low self-esteem and need a title. To affirm, God, I'm preaching right. If I got to say so myself, amen. But my father said, he said, well, he's become a bishop, and he started laughing. He said, but he cursing every other word. Now, what kind of witness is that to my father? He's supposed to be a leader. He's supposed to be representing the will of God. And I'm going to tell you something. In this day, God's going to take some of them home. Yeah. Hell don't like the truth. Just remove them. Get them out the way. I'm not saying they aren't going to heaven, but some of them are going to be removed because they're misrepresenting the will of God. Amen. Praise God. So David said, I'm going to do it because I have a heart to do it, because God's been good to me. But secondly, he says, I'm going to bless him because I'm looking for somebody to bless because I made a covenant with somebody that I would do it. And he covenanted with Jonathan. And then he starts to inquire, is there anybody I can show kindness to? Is there anybody I can bless for Jonathan's sake? Can I bless anybody for Jonathan's sake? Hallelujah. And he calls one of his servants, and one of his servants says, yes, there is somebody. His name is Mephibosheth, but he's lame in both feet. Good God Almighty. In other words, he put a stipulation there, a caveat, to say, I don't know if you really want to bless him because he's been marred by life. Some folk don't think God wants to bless them because they've been marred by life. But you're a prime candidate for his blessing. He says, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them. Bring the lame, bring the halt. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He's lame in both feet. He's crippled. He's somewhat non-ambulatory. And most believe he could walk, but not that well, because the word there, a lame, means a maim in the Hebrew. So he was making it, but barely. He had a wife, he had a son, but he was hurting, he was crippled, he was deformed, but Mephibosheth, the king still calling your name. Come on, somebody. He was scarred, but the king was calling. They made fun of him, but the king was calling his name. Amen. Word Mephibosheth means dispeller of shame mean that he at one time was a source of shame? He was at one time a one who they looked to as someone who was shameful, but God took that away. Mephibosheth. Come on, somebody. King's calling. Your name. I don't know if there's anybody in here who's been hurt, who's been scarred, who's been maimed by life, but God wants to bring you from Lodabar, from that desperate place, from under the table to a seat at the table. Mephibosheth, the king, the king, the king. Calling your name. That's right. Hallelujah. There's one, but he's lame. He's maimed. He can barely make it. He's non-ambulatory to some extent. He needs help. He needs some assistance. But yeah. But David said, tell him that I'm calling his name. Tell him there's a seat at my table. Come on, somebody. The king. God Almighty. God's miracle church, the king. You don't need a steeple. The king. God help me, somebody. Pastor doesn't have a PhD. The king. God help me, somebody. Don't have to have a television broadcast. The king. Have to be known by the masses, you're known by the king, the king. Calling your name. Now, how did, oh God help me, Holy God. How did Mephibosheth get in this predicament? Well, in this case, it really wasn't even his fault. A nurse was attending to him, and there was a war that took place, and she was trying to get him out of harm's way. And as she fled with Mephibosheth, she dropped him, and his feet became lame. Hurt and broken. Some say if they had nurtured, he was just 5 years old when this happened, if somebody had nurtured him at that age and worked with the bones, he wouldn't have been maimed as he got older. But nobody took care of him along the way. Isn't that just like some of us? There was nobody there to nurse me through it. There was nobody, God help me, to walk me through it. I was hurt and I had to face it all by myself. Swash. I started to walk a little differently because my bones were deformed and malformed and nobody would help me. And I said, well, I must be meant to be this way. But no, Mephibosheth, you're a child and a grandchild of the king. It's not going to be that way always. The king is calling your name. Hallelujah. He's a male now. We don't know quite how old he is, a man now, but he dropped at 5. And I asked this question. I preached this one time before, and I asked this question. I asked this rhetorical question. I said, dropped you. Who hurt you to cause you to be in the pain? You don't trust anymore because somebody dropped you. It's hard for you to love again because somebody dropped you and you're hurting and you're in pain. But Mephibosheth King still, whoo, calling your name. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. Calling your name. I know you're hurting, but he's calling your name. I know you're in pain, but he's calling your name. I know there's shame, but he's calling your name. You know, in the 80s, and I don't know if anybody can, you know, that's going back a while, maybe even the 70s, we used to say something like, and somebody may be able to identify with it, but when we were in relationship, had a little boyfriend, little girlfriend, some of you had boyfriends, we had girlfriends, and when we broke up, somebody would say then, that this was the terminology of the day, that he dropped her. Or she dropped him. And the person became hurt because the other person dropped. Who dropped you? Who hurt? God, I feel that. You. Well, I ain't gonna trust nobody. Because they all aren't, none of them any good. You know, they talk a good game, but they're really good. Oh, God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Good God Almighty. I feel that. I feel that. The King calling your name, even if you've been hurt. Praise God, and dropped. Even if you're limping, hallelujah, the King calling your name. So when Mephibosheth heard that David was inquiring about him and asking him to come, he didn't quite understand it. Notice how he responded when he got in the presence of the King. He said, "Who am I, a dead dog?" That was his persona or perception of himself. I'm just a dead dog. Lord, help me, somebody. That's why some of you are biting. That's why some of you are nipping. That's why some of you are biting, because you still see yourself. Because I'm afraid to let folk get too close to me. Because they might see my lameness. But it's your lameness that brought you to the King. It's your lameness that made you available to the King. Had you not gone through what you've been through, you wouldn't be here today. But thank God for every wound. Whew. Hallelujah. I'm just a dead dog. Nobody cares about me. I live in Lodabar. I live in the hood. I live in the ghetto. Nobody cares about me. But no, the king calling your name. Hallelujah. Just a dead dog. But even the dogs eat the crumbs. God, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Jesus called her a dog. Oh, y'all don't like me today. But her response was correct. She said, I might be a dog, but just get me to the table. Because God help me so. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Who dropped you? You're hurting, you're limping, but the king's calling your name. You're divorced, but y'all don't want me to go there, but I'm going to preach it anyway. But the king's calling your name. It hurt, but you're still here. You went through, but you're still. They rejected you, but God has accepted you. The king is calling your name. God, help me somebody. Thank you, Lord. I'm just a dog, he says, but David tells him, look, I'm going to bless you anyway. Despite how you feel about yourself, because I made a covenant with your father, and now what I'm going to do for you, come on somebody, I'm going to allow you to sit at the king's table. It's a long way from Lodabar to the king's table. But come on up, Mephibosheth. It's your time to shine. Say yeah, good God Almighty. It's time for you to come out of the shadows and sit at the table. That's joy. My God. My God, my God, my God. Yeah, yeah, you've been suffering long enough. You've been in pain long enough. You've been in a state of destitution long enough. Mephibosheth, come on up and bring your lameness. I still have a place for you at my table. Anybody glad? Just glad to be at the table. You might be scarred, but you're at the table. You might be hurting, but you're at the table. You may have been rejected, but still, God brought you to the table. Come on now. Hallelujah. But Mephibosheth, come on, I'm about finished. Give me 5 minutes and I'm going to pray. Good God Almighty. Say yeah if you understand what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Wait a minute. They laughed at you in school, but you're at the table. They said you wouldn't amount to anything, but you're at the table. They said you were inarticulate and weren't eloquent enough. Said the church wouldn't be here, but we at the table. Come on, somebody. I feel all right this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Say yes. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm both of this. My God. My wife won't mind.